This subject that I'm about to talk about is something that I have posted about before, and it concerns the problem that most people have with thinking in meditation. But because I get so many questions regarding this subject, and because it's viewed as such a problem, I'll see if I can nail it once and for all and defuse it as an issue. Because really it shouldn't be an issue if you're meditating properly. As I've said before, it's not thinking per se that is the problem in meditation. It's our reactions to what we think about that are the problem. In meditation, people make thinking into a problem because they try to stop thinking. They try to stop it because they think that meditation should be thought-free. And that's a terribly mistaken view. But it's unfortunately one of those hackneyed misconceptions which have dogged meditation ever since it came to the West. So I'll say it again. The mind creates thoughts. That's what it does. That's what it's meant to do. And it'll always think. So it'll keep on creating thoughts as you meditate. The only time your mind is going to stop creating thoughts is when you're dead. So get used to it. But having said that, I do know how hard it can be, particularly when we begin meditating. We close our eyes and we're sitting there still, and it's a bit like we've been locked in a dark cell with our mind. And where, usually in daily life, we can distract ourselves from our mental chatter, in meditation we just can't. Because, as I said, we're locked into the mind. Our eyes are closed and we're sitting still, no distractions. So, locked in like that, if we don't treat the thinking in the right way, it can be a little bit like being locked in a small room with a mad, chattering speed freak. So, the key is to know how to treat the thinking. Actually, there's a story that comes to mind. I was in a temple one time. I was meditating on a two-month retreat, and there was a young Englishman in the hut beside mine. And each day as I passed to pick up my food from the kitchen, I used to hear this thump, thump, thump coming from the wall of his hut. And I used to wonder what it was. Until one day, as I was passing, I heard his voice, and it was very quiet. And in time with the thumping on the wall of his hut, this voice was saying, "Thinking, thinking, thinking, thinking." And because I was having my own problems in meditation, I didn't think much more of it until the day I left, when synchronicitously this young man was also leaving. So we caught the same bus back to Bangkok. And on the way, I asked him what the thumping had been. And he said, "Oh, that was me beating my head against the wall." And I said, "Oh, right, you were having problems with thinking." And he said, "Yes, I was trying to stop it." And I said, "Oh, did it work?" And he said, "No, but it did give me a bit of a break. It was a distraction." So I suppose what I'm saying here is there are much better ways of dealing with thinking than beating your head against the wall. So let's look at it and see what's happening and see what we can do with it. Put simply, there are three types of thinking, and only one of them is a problem and will cause problems. So we'll go through them one by one. The first type of thinking that's not a problem is spontaneous thinking, and that's those thoughts that arise spontaneously in the mind, whether as sudden memory of things that need doing or ideas or answers to old problems. They arise fully formed, and if left alone, they pass away very quickly, like dreams. The mind forgets them. So there's no problem there. Just know that it's happening as it happens, and then let it pass right on by. Then there's functional thinking. Functional thinking is very mechanical and very definite, and it's a statement, a very simple statement of fact, like, a functional thought would be, "I will get up at 6 a.m. in the morning." Or another one would be, "Where's my car?" Or, "It's very hot." There's no problem there because you're simply stating a simple fact. And this thinking is clean and it disappears almost at the same moment as it comes if you don't react to it. A good example of functional thinking is, for those who are using the audio course, the mental noting method that you're using. Mental noting is a simple functional thought that we use to recognize where our attention is and what it's doing at any one time. One single word and nothing more. As such, a mental note is totally functional, simple, clean, and it leaves the mind and body unruffled. So now we come to the third type of thinking, and this is the problem: reactive thinking. Reactive thinking always comes after either a spontaneous thought or a functional thought. And it's always an opinion about what's been recognized or thought about, or a view or a reaction. It always contains within it values of what has been thought of or experienced. And as such, it creates body reactions because these values are statements of desire or fear. These thoughts disturb us or they excite us. Either way, they throw us off balance. So functional thinking is not a problem. Spontaneous thinking is not a problem. But reactive thinking is always a problem. So let's look at an example of reactive thinking. It would be something like, we might be meditating and suddenly we have a spontaneous thought that arises in the mind, a memory, let's say. And it might be, my ex-girlfriend is visiting tomorrow. No problem there, simply a statement of fact. Left at that, the thought's done its job, the memory disappears. But if, as is usually the case, we react to the thought with, let's say, I can't stand my ex-girlfriend, then we have a problem. Because this thought, unlike the others, is loaded with energy. And by that I mean it gives us a small jolt of adrenaline. And this body reaction feeds back, exciting the mind. And our mental reaction becomes like a magnet in the mind. It begins attracting other thoughts of the same kind from our unconscious. Thoughts about our ex-girlfriend, all the things we can't stand about her and people like her and how we wish she would stop coming around and how last time she came around it was horrible and so on. And then we start getting into the whole history of our relationship with her and women like her and perhaps women in general and blah, blah, blah. At that point we're lost. Our body is excited from all the reactive thinking that's been happening and meditation has disappeared into a plethora of looping reactive thoughts, extrapolating endlessly, a madness in which, though the original thought was simply a remembering that our girlfriend was visiting tomorrow, we've been slowly led by all these reactive thoughts along a chain of reactions to women in general and how we've never had luck and blah, 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 at which point we become utterly depressed or angry or whatever and so on. You know what I mean. So spontaneous thinking and functional thinking are fine if left as what they are. They bubble up from the mind and we notice them and then they're gone. As I said, it's what we make of these thoughts that messes us up in meditation. Our reactions and all the stupid thinking that these reactions create upset the balance of mind and body, not just in meditation, but in life itself. Because, of course, just as reactive thoughts are a problem in meditation, so too they're a problem in life as well. And that's why when I speak of mentality, I prefer the word concocting to the word thinking. Because as I've said, thinking is not a problem. Concocting is the problem. We think, but then we concoct onwards from what we think. And those reactions turn simple noticing into something that's more toxic. So to simplify, thinking's not the problem, reacting is. So the way to deal with reactive thinking is to avoid thinking about the thoughts. Just don't speak back to thoughts when they arise in the mind. Allow thoughts to arise and pass away as they will. Perhaps think of it like this. I'll give you an image. Imagine your mind is a house with an open door. And the way it usually is, and always has been, is every thought that comes to visit walks straight in the door and you immediately start reacting to it, greeting the thought, talking to it, getting its story, adding your own. And this attracts other thoughts to the party, which all come in, and each one you're talking to, and the party gets bigger in your head, and you're getting upset or excited by all the stories that unfold in this party. But now you're sick of this partying. It's exhausting and making a mess of your house. So you sit down to meditate. And the first thing you try to do is close the door to lock all the thinking out. Because if there's no thinking, surely then you'll have a bit of peace. Ah, big mistake. Wrong thing to do. Because what happens? All the thoughts who usually come to visit, who have always come to visit your entire life, start knocking on the door. Then they start kicking at it when you don't open it. And eventually they break the door down and you're overwhelmed by them. So you can't stop the thoughts visiting. So the answer is take the middle way. Leave the door of the house of your mind open. Let the thoughts visit. But just don't talk to them. Don't even look at them. Instead, pay attention to the spaces between the thoughts. That is to say, you can still hear what the thoughts are telling you, but if you don't react, eventually they turn around and walk right out the door again. Because what else can they do? No one's talking back to them, so the thoughts disappear. The only thing that was ever keeping them in your house was the fact that you were talking back to them, that you were answering their questions, that you were creating questions of your own and reactions of your own. So if you remove all those reactions, the thoughts just disappear. So allow the spontaneous thoughts and the functional thoughts to arise in the mind. Be aware of them, but keep your attention focused on the spaces between them, what Deepak Chopra calls the quantum between. It's in that space between thinking that our destination in meditation lies, because that's where stillness lies. It lies in between the thoughts, in the spaces between everything in the mind. That's where awareness is. And in between the thoughts is also where intelligence is, and creativity and inspiration. These things don't come from thinking, though they do get turned into thinking. They come from the space that is before thinking, in between the thoughts that exist. All our thoughts are just bits of, they're like bits of notepaper that the mind makes out of what we know, so that we can remember things. Which is why I say in the audio course, our goal is to let go. Let go of everything, even the act of letting go itself. So let's sum up. As you meditate, if you're having trouble with reactive thinking, try this. Be aware of the thoughts, don't struggle with them. Let the mind be as furious and as noisy as it might be. But keep your attention focused between everything that happens in the mind. You're still aware of it all, but just not paying attention to it. And keep practicing this aware disinterest in what your thoughts are saying, because that's what it is. Even when you're not meditating, in spare moments throughout the day, just play with it. Eventually, you'll find that your mind will get to know the spaces between the thoughts and begin thinking in a more intuitive way. That is to say, you'll find things arising as ideas rather than as thoughts and reactions. Now, just a note to finish, and it concerns the audio course. I've noticed in a lot of the emails that I've been getting that people are trying to teach themselves meditation from my books and from this audio blog. And while the information that's contained in my books and my audio blog are perhaps good information, it's not a good idea to try and teach yourself meditation from it. In fact, it's a very bad idea because though the information might well be interesting, it remains just that. On this blog and in my books, it's simply information. It's not meditation. To learn meditation properly, in the first stages anyway, you need a teacher to guide you through each meditation you do. Otherwise, you will naturally fall into a blank state of forgetting. You'll simply float in a sea of dreaming and totally waste your time because the mind forgets, because it's not used to meditating. It's not used to that level of focus. So as I said, in the first stages, you need someone to speak you through each meditation method. And that's exactly what I do in the audio course. I guide you through each stage of meditation, through each phase of what you need to do, reminding you of what's important and how to deal with each problem as it arises. This is experiential learning, not just ideas. You're learning as you experience, which is the only way to learn meditation. So you must have a teacher, whether it's me or someone else, to guide you as you meditate. So if you're serious about meditation, then go to my website and buy the course. It's a downloadable file of MP3s that cover everything you need to know, and it's as cheap as I can make it and easy to use. And only then will meditation begin to make sense on the experiential level that you need it to, and you'll progress. So don't think about it, just do it. Thanks for listening.